A weak solidarity bringing team Leicester win. NAIDOC week kept the fires burning. A bit under a year since white True Blue Aussie voted to ignore the voice of the first True Blue Aussies. We don't want to listen to you. Perhaps not fires like the gas flares destroying thousands of years of rock art on the Barra Peninsula. NAIDOC week with our Indigenous sisters and brothers assuring us you can't vote us away. We're here to stay. And a week when it's a worry when we have a big Suprema who clearly is unable to comprehend hypocrisy when it's staring him in the face. Especially from a man who has, by his own admission, devoted his life to supporting the Palestinian non-land, non-people. How else can we explain Anthony Albanese's following the lead of our father country, the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world, and angrily attacking Russia, bombing a Ukraine hospital as a war crime, a crime against humanity? Fair enough, too, except Anthony's friend Zion has been bombing hospitals and refugee camps and schools and journalists and aid workers and communities and people taking refuge where Zion told them to take refuge for 9 months. And the best, Anthony and the gang, including the minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect Penny Left Wing can come up with, is Zion has a right to defend itself. And the occasional comment that maybe it shouldn't be murdering quite as many people. Congratulations, Anthony. Good news. You've raced away with the Hypocrite of the Week award. What a pity political gymnastics aren't included in the Olympics, because Anthony would be a gold medal shoo-in. Well, perhaps not. There's so many political gymnastic champions, so many challenges, but a big chance. For what gymnastic balance to devote your life to defending the Palestinian non-land, non-people, and simultaneously be a close, close friend of Zion? It'd be a bit like someone declaring she or he supports evil unions and lazy Aboriginal workers while cozying up to and doing the bidding of caring employers. Oh, but of course, Anthony does that too. When Fatima Payman was endorsed, the Socialist Party conducted the now routine dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's to ensure she met the citizenship requirements, satisfied she had done all she could to jettison her Afghan citizenship. Hard as it is to believe that a woman would want to lose Afghan citizenship. Big tick, all clear. Now, all of a sudden, a number of highly principled Socialist Party members who support Zion's right to defend itself by genocide, slaughter and destruction have suggested the citizenship matter should be reviewed. Has a dual citizen crossed the floor? This is just a reflection of our respect for the law, they assured us. Nothing to do with Fatima voting for Socialist Party policy. Nothing. Where would you get that idea from? Although now you've raised it, she had no right to oppose caucus policy. But she voted for party policy, showing her disrespect for the caucus process. She voted against the caucus policy of opposing the party policy. On the good news front, report this week that True Blue Aussie is leading the way in the real value of wages, falling further behind cost of living increases, which must reduce the pressure on caring employers to increase their prices. Mustn't it? Employers like Stevedore's DP World for Double Profit Everyday World and Pat Pricks, who have been forced to increase their prices by 21 and 20% respectively due to the greed of the workers whose call for a wage rise they reject, knowing those wage rises will contribute to inflation and make those workers lots worse off. We can have nothing but admiration in caring employers. Although other caring employers who use the ports are complaining that the 21 and 20% will cause inflation, but then they and we know who to blame. The workers receiving exorbitant wage increases like 3.75%. Compare that to the sacrifices of our CEOs who kept their average salaries down to a ridiculously low 4-point-something million. Worth every cent when their job is to ensure lazy Aboriginal workers keep falling further behind, else inflation would be even worse. Those workers would be worse off. 2 weeks ago, our comment on what passes the debate was, one, at least Joe remembered to turn up, and two, Donald wasn't raving on from a prison cell. Well, things have moved on. Joe is being asked to resign, but can't remember why. No, seriously, his eloquent performance has been praised to the hilt by Donald and his lot, perhaps not quite so lavishly by his own lot, while Donald cannot end up in a prison cell because in a decision based on the law and nothing but the law, the Trample the Poor Court, sorry, supremely stupid Trample the Poor Court, ruled that the law does not apply to Donald, which is just as well, or he'd be in a heap of the proverbial. But now he can do what he likes, which he does anyway, so nothing will really change. The wisest decision ever, ever. Poor innocent Donald, who never has a bad word for anyone, must hate having to describe Joe as Crooked Joe, the crookedest Crooked Joe ever, ever. But what choice has he got? And isn't it mind-boggling that Donald calls someone else a crook? Self-awareness personified. Meanwhile, political analysts have been combing through Donald's string of grammatical disasters in the great debate and thus far have not been able to unearth any comment that even vaguely resembles the truth. But we do have to admire the profound political content and policies of those US old political rallies, like Joe fronting a crowd of supporters chanting, "Four more years! Four more years!" My goodness, don't they bristle with policy? Meanwhile, Joe played host to NATO, the nasty arms treachery organization. And what did you discuss? We asked the secretary. War. Toys for the boys. Anything else? Oh yes, we discussed the latest state-of-the-art Merchants of Death merchandise. State-of-the-art toys for the boys. But the people, don't you discuss your nation's people, their needs, how you can make their lives better? Certainly, we do discuss how to make their lives better. Of course we do. How? War. Offensive trained killing. How does that help? To make those people's lives better, you can't have peace without war. Tolstoy knew that. I'm not sure that's what he was saying. Of course he was. There was some criticism that Anthony didn't attend the NATO Warfest. Until then, he was being attacked, particularly from the Lord Rupert of Wapping Media, for going overseas too often, but then they attacked him for not going overseas, sending the minister for being offensive and train-killing Richard Malls the bad guys. And that makes sense, given all they talk about is train-killing. Richard was in his element. And newsflash, the biggest surprise, a bolt from the blue. The Ukrainian big supremo Zelensky told the NATO war machine it was not doing nearly enough to help. He needed trillions of dollars more Merchants of Death merchandise. Surprise, because he doesn't say that more often than 8 or 10 times a day. Truebler was he led the way on behalf of lovers of liberty, freedom and democracy in exposing cyber security breaches by evil China. Yes, how did we uncover this shameful breach of our freedoms, our security? Through breaching evil China's cyber security. Yes, the good guys have a right, indeed a responsibility, to spy on the bad guys, while the bad guys prove they are bad guys by spying on the good guys. In the corporate world, where there's nothing but good guys among the most revered, perhaps the most revered and respected, our much-loved banks, like ANZ for another zoom in profits, making it shameful that the regulatory authorities are investigating a little contract, well, millions of dollars worth of little contract, to assist in a government bond issue. Allegations that the another zoom in profits markets division manipulated the prices, used inside information to zoom even more profits. For goodness sake, it's a bank. Like the snake asked, "Why did you bite me?" "Because I'm a snake." And anyway, it's now a few years since the Her Most Gracious Majesty's con mission into the banks. Time to get things back to normal. Of course, the highly, highly paid CEO and senior executives are all concerned and looking into the matter. Any staff found or acted improperly will be punished. Because like the highly, highly paid senior executives would have had no idea all this was going on. Finally, isn't technology magic the way it can improve and upgrade itself without human intervention? Like the cameras Melbourne University installed, which it guaranteed were just for security and could not identify any individuals. Well, the cameras have taken on a life of their own, self-improvement, because now the university is using them to identify students it wants to punish, to suspend and expel for daring oppose policy by opposing slaughter, genocide and destruction. From the Vice-Chancellor down, they must have been so surprised to discover technology had upgraded itself, because otherwise we'd have to think they were lying. Perish the thought. Good morning.